I'm going to read out of the second chapter from verses 8 through 13. We're coming today to a very marked division in the book of Ephesians. I refer to the 11th verse. But leading up to that, we have 8, 9, and 10, and so I'll read from verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Here we have the introduction of the fact that there were, in the days immediately preceding the coming of Christ, two groups of people in the world, the Gentiles and the Jews. The Jews, being favored of God, looked upon and called all who were not Jews Goyim. There was another division of the human race by man, in which the Greeks boasted of their superiority, and they called all who were not Greeks barbarians, or called them at times the hoi polloi. With the coming of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God, with the rejection on the part of Israel of the Lord Jesus Christ, God called into existence a third group of people, neither Jew nor Gentile, called in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the church of God. He says, give none offense, neither to the Jew nor the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Now here we have introduced the original difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the Jews and the Gentiles. And I think we do well if we turn a moment to Genesis chapter 10. Chapter 9 would be the proper place to start. Genesis chapter 9. I encounter some Jews contend that the Jews are not a race of people, but a religion. And I've had some tell me, you are a Baptist and I am a Jew, and maybe this one's a Presbyterian or a Baptist. I said, no, not so. We had the two classifications by God, Jew and Gentile. Now here in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 24, Noah, rousing from his drunken stupor, as I've stated repeatedly from this pulpit, apparently Noah's drunkenness was unintentional and something of which he knew nothing until after he was drunk. With the release of that great canopy of water which completely encircled the earth and filtered out the actinic rays of the sun, permitting those rays of the sun direct access to the flesh and what's on the earth, fermentation came into existence. Blotches on the skin began to appear. The fiber of the flesh began to deteriorate. Noah had made wine prior to the flood, and it was unintoxicating. After the flood, it was intoxicating. But making it after the flood and drinking as he had done before the flood, he became drunk. You find no rebuke in the Word of God of him for being drunk. He came out of that drunken stupor and realized what his younger son had done unto him. That was Cam, his younger son Ham, and had perpetrated some act of physical abuse on his father Ham. The rabbis of old thought and contended, and it's in their writings today, that it was emasculation. But Noah knew that his younger son had done it. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. The meter of the verse in the Hebrew of these three verses, 25, 26, and 27, is broken in that 26th verse. And as found in some of the ancient writings of the rabbis, they read, cursed be Ham and his son Canaan. And the meter is established in the poem. Be that as it may, every descendant of Ham is or has been in a state of servitude. I repeat that. Every descendant of Ham has been or is in a state of servitude. Cursed be Ham and Canaan, a servant of servants, shall it be unto his brethren. The curse is that of servitude, not color. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Noah and his three sons and the four wives of these four coming off of the ark at the expiration of the flood and the settling of the water find themselves as the head of the human race. We notice a difference in the three sons, and then these prophecies of God pronounced upon them. Noah was but the instrument through which God spoke. These words are from God. Now, the 26th verse, we have a record of the only time in the Word of God that a blessing is pronounced upon a God of man. The Hebrew words for Lord God, the Hebrew word for Lord is Jehovah, and that for God is Elohim, the plural of El. So if we use the English equivalent, what God says is, blessed be Jehovah, the God of Shem. Shem has a God. And Shem's God is Jehovah. And Shem's God is my God, because my God is Jehovah. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus the Christ of the New Testament. And you notice in that 26th verse, the word Lord is in capital letters, being a device adopted by the translators of the King James Version, that it signifies the fact that the Hebrew word is Jehovah. And every time in the Old Testament you see the word Lord with all four letters, capital letters, you know the Hebrew word is Jehovah. There are other words that translated Lord, but the word Lord will be in small letters with the exception of the first letter. God says, blessed be Jehovah, the Elohim of Shem. Shem is to be the source through which spiritual blessings of Jehovah come to mankind. Now, verse 27 says that God shall enlarge Japheth. Ham is to be the progenitor of the servile nations. Shem is to be the source of spiritual blessings. Japheth is going to be the one who spreads abroad over the face of the earth, subdues the wilderness, colonizes and introduces civilization. But we read concerning Japheth in verse 27, he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. I, being a descendant of Japheth, dwell in the tents of Shem, in that the blessings of fellowship and communion with Shem, which are spiritual blessings, come to me. Now, if you notice here in the 10th chapter, verse 1, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, starting with verse 2 and continuing for a few verses, he enumerates the sons of Japheth. And coming to the 5th verse, he says, God says, by these sons of Japheth, were the islands of the Gentiles divided in their lands. Japheth, the progenitor of the Gentiles, they were divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families and their nations. Now, up until this time, the human race is one. Now, God is getting ready to divide the human race in the different nations. The 58 of these sons and their descendants mentioned in this 10th chapter, and 58 nations come out of this group. Now, here we have one group. Now we come to verse 20. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Now, verse 21 introduces us to Shem, the father of all the children of Heber, from which we get our word Hebrew. Now, with all the human race destroyed from the face of the earth, with the exception of Noah and his wife, Ham and his wife, Shem and his wife, and Japheth and his wife, and their sons, here we have God starting over with the human race. When the children of Israel rebelled against God under the leadership of Moses, God told Moses, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. If it's all right with you, I'll destroy the whole human race again like I did at the time of the flood, and I'll make you the head of a new race of people. Moses said, nothing doing. I've already announced all over Egypt and all through the country that you were able to bring out the children of Israel and take them into the promised land. Now, you just keep your promise and do that. You just do it. I've told them you could do it. Now, let's go on with it. And so God says, fine, and goes on with it. But here we have these three groups. At this time, the earth was one piece. It was not divided up into continents and islands. It was one piece. And we read in verse 11 that the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Here we have one world, one race, one people, one language, one system of everything, financial, political, etc. We've got it all. Here we have that toward which men of the world and many men of the cloth, so-called, are striving once again to establish one world, one people, one race, one language, one religion, one church, one everything. Well, now, let's remember, it was that way once. Came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found in the plain a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They said one to another, go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. They had brick for mortar and slime, had they brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The command of God has been to multiply and replenish the whole earth. They refused to do it. They refused to obey the command of God. They're going to settle down on the plains of Shinar, and they're going to build a tower that will establish a reputation for them, and their names will be remembered because of the tower which they built and the other things of which they indulge and engage. But God looked down upon them, saw it, and God didn't like what he saw. He didn't like it at all. So he comes down. And here's what he does. Now I want you to get this. Verse 7. Let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Here's the origin of many different languages. You know what people forget today is they're so saturated, their system so permeated with the teaching of Darwinian theory of evolution that they think man started from nothing and just got better and better. Well, I've got news for you. Man started perfect and has degenerated to what he is today. Man is nothing of which to be proud today? Nothing. Nothing. God is just waiting until the cup of iniquity is filled, and then he's coming in and change everything once again, as he had done on several occasions. Degeneracy marks the works of man. Degeneracy. Now, here, God doesn't like it, so he's going to change their language. He's going to give them all different languages. So in verse 8, God scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all of the earth. He took the sons of Japheth, moved them to the north. He took the sons of Ham, moved them to the south. And he took the sons of Shem and put them across the central part of the earth. And then, look at verse 25 of chapter 10. Now the chronology is correct. And don't get disturbed because I went from 11 back to 10. Because if you've read any book, you read sometimes in the chapter and then you have to come back to the thought of the previous chapter. Then you read on some other chapters and then you come back to this. It doesn't carry it all the way through. But here's what happened. Unto Heber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. They called the boy Peleg. Peleg. The earth divided. The Hebrew word brings out the fact that the earth was divided by waterways. Some ancient translations translated divided by canals. But the waterways we know are oceans and rivers. Now, God divided it. So, look in verse 9 of the 11th chapter. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all of the earth. And then he divided the earth. Now, turn for just a moment to Acts chapter 17. I'm not lost. I know exactly where I am. We're coming to Jew and Gentile, verse 11 of Ephesians 2 in just a minute. Now, Acts chapter 17. Paul on Mars Hill. As he's speaking there, come to verse 24. Paul says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands. Now, incidentally, keep that thought in your mind, because we'll come to that in a minute in that 11th verse. He's not worshipped with man's hands or things that are made by man's hands, as though he needed anything. God doesn't need anything, neither you nor what you have. But you and I need God. Seeing he giveth all things, life, breath, he giveth all life, breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations. He's made of one blood all of the different nations. God has made the nations. God made the nations. They're not the result of misunderstanding between man, but God made them. And God gave them different languages, and God separated them. I'll show you in just a moment. Now, God made of one blood all the nations. The cry of today is to make one nation of all of the different nations, but that's not God's way. All right, he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed. God has determined when a nation shall rise and when that nation shall fall. The rise and fall of nations is not in your hands or in mine. He's determined the time before appointed and the boundaries of their habitation. He sets the boundaries of these nations. They'll go to that boundary and no farther. God set the time and the boundaries. That's all in the hands of God Almighty. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far from every one of us. Now, the fact or the truth that is brought out there is that God has made all of these different nations. He's given them different languages, and he separated them, and he's divided these nations, these continents, up by oceans, by the deserts, by the rivers, by the mountains. There we have the natural barriers. We have the national barriers. We have the language barrier. God Almighty put all of those barriers in there in order that man might seek after the Lord and find him. God Almighty made all these different nations to facilitate evangelism, to make it easier for the preaching the gospel to reach them. That's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of it. But man miserably failed after the flood and refused to do the call of God. So God reached in to the human race and picked out a man by the name of Abram of Ur of the Chaldees. And God started another race of people within the human race. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the sons of Jacob. Abraham was the first one to be called a Hebrew. The word Hebrew meaning one who passes over. Abraham passed over from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. The book of Hebrews, the title given it by man, is apropos if you judge the meaning of the book of Hebrews. It's to those who are passing over. And that's exactly what it is. You and I as Christians are passing over from this life to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, which is coming. And we're pilgrims and we're passing through this world and passing over, and we are Hebrews in that sense of the word. Now, all of the descendants of Abraham have been called Hebrew, but later on, with the birth of Isaac and then the birth of Jacob, we find Jacob's name changed to Israel, so that the descendants of Judah, descendants of Jacob, are called the children of Israel. But from the fourth son of Jacob, we have Judah, or Judah is the fourth son, and from him comes the word Jew. So that for a while they had those designated as Hebrews, designated as Israelites, and others designated as Jews. But when we come to the New Testament, we find those three terms used synonymously. The Hebrew is the same as an Israelite and is the same as a Jew. And the Apostle Paul says in one place that he's a Jew. Another place he said he's a Hebrew. Another place he says he's an Israelite. He's all three of them, though he's born of the tribe of Benjamin, to speak. Now, Paul was all of those. Now, with the development of the Jewish people, here came a people through whom God is going to try to get this world back into shape in a way that would be pleasing to him and conform to his plans and purposes. The Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their descendants are descendants of Jacob through those 12 sons. came to be known then as the Jews. The Jews, children of Israel, and as the Hebrews. Now with the Apostle Paul, we have attention called to the fact here that there is a difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. The hatred and animosity that developed between the Jews and Gentiles was very, very bitter. We read concerning our Lord Jesus Christ on one journey that he made northward. He was starting from Jerusalem back to Galilee, and the way of travel for that, they would go due east from Jerusalem and cross the Jordan River and go up the eastern side of the Jordan River till they got up to the Sea of Galilee. Then they'd cross over again, because the other way would take them through the territory of the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated them, and any Jew that went through there went at the risk of his own life. And so, speaking of our Lord, as he started out on this journey, he said he must needs go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. Otherwise, his journey would have been the other way. But he had to go, and the reason he had to go, he'd made a date before the foundation of the world to speak to the woman of the well of Samaria there. And he had to go and keep that engagement with her. But the Jews called the Gentiles dogs. They called them dogs. Every once in a while, a Jew says to me, "You know what a Gentile called me the other day?" And I said, "No, what?" And he tells me. I said, "Well, you know what you Jews used to call Gentiles?" He said, "No." He knew what they still called them from then. But that's them too. They hated each other. I mean, they hate them. Our Lord even called a Gentile a Jew. Jesus Christ even called a Gentile a dog. And that woman of Syrophoenicia came to him and asked him, and he said, "It is not meet to take the bread from the children's table and give it to the dogs." Calling her a dog. He did. He called her that. Well, you take the Greeks and the rest of the human race, the Greeks are almost as bad. The Greeks and the barbarians. Greek called everybody who wasn't a Greek a barbarian. And so here we have the Jew and the Gentile, those two groups of people. Now, the Jew has the spiritual blessing. The Jew has the Word of God. God gave it to the Jews. Every book in the Bible written, humanly speaking, by a Jew. Every book. All right? It was through the nation of Israel, through the Jews, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. In response to a question recently, was Jesus Christ a Jew? I said, "No, Jesus Christ is a Jew. And one day he's going to sit on the throne of his father David and rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." He is a Jew. And then they were chosen to be Jehovah's Witnesses to the ends of the earth. But they failed in that. Now, the spiritual privileges and responsibilities of evangelizing the world had been handed over to Israel, to the Jews, but they failed. And we come into the Acts of the Apostles, we come to the setting aside of Israel, of that place of responsibility and privilege, and God has taken it away from the Jews and has given it to the Gentiles that will bring forth the fruits thereof. So we're living in the times of the Gentiles just now. But the Jews, the Gentiles had failed, the Jews had failed. So God starts another race of people, so to speak, in the spiritual sense of the word. God starts another group of people that's neither Jew nor Gentile. I don't find one in a million that has any concept of the meaning of that. I get lots of literature coming across my desk. I got some just the other day. Somebody going to speak somewhere and turned himself a Hebrew Christian. Well, there's no such thing. He's either a Hebrew or a Christian. I'm either a Gentile or a Christian. I am a Christian. Now, there's neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ. So God brought into existence another group of people Now, when you go back to the Word of God, you'll find the Gentiles created in Adam. You'll find, according to the prophecy of Isaiah, that the Jews were created in Jacob. Have not I created thee, O Jacob, is the Word of God, a new creation. All right, you come to this new race, and we read in Ephesians, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The Gentiles created by God, the Jews created by God, and the Christians created by God. So, when our Lord came to the earth, he'd go into a community and he would find there a Jewish temple and a synagogue, and he would find pagan temples and pagan places of worship. And when he left, there was a little handful meeting over here in this home or one in that home who called themselves Christians, who were neither of the synagogue nor of the pagan temples, but a different group entirely. A different group entirely. And the mystery of the Word of God, the mystery spoken of throughout the Bible, is that somewhere down the line, God Almighty is going to bring the Gentiles in with the Jews and make of them one people, and the faithful and obedient of that group would be the ones that partook of His kingdom with Him and would rule and reign with Him. Now, back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Chapter 2, now Paul is writing to Ephesians, Paul being one who was a Jew before he was saved, now writing to these who were Gentiles. Now you remember that in time past you were Gentiles in the flesh. Called the uncircumcision. The sign of the covenant which God made with Abraham was the sign of circumcision, and that was a sign of Jewry, and the Jews had reached a point where they placed more value, more importance upon the observance of that rite than they did of obedience to the Lord or serving the Lord or doing that which the Lord would have them to do. You notice here, now, wherefore remember that you, in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, now they're Christians in the flesh, but then they were Gentiles. And there was a certain group, those who were called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. The emphasis is there upon what the Jews themselves did. They themselves had performed the rite of circumcision, and they made their boast in that which they had done. Now, I noticed just a moment ago in the 7th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and verse 41. This is the same thing there, almost expressed in a different way. Acts chapter 7, verse 41. How the children of Israel, after Moses had gone up into the mount, and the children of Israel knew not what had become of Moses, they got after Aaron, and with the approbation of Aaron, they made a calf those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. Well, if there's any one word that describes Christendom as a whole today, it's that. They are rejoicing in the works of their own hands. They're rejoicing in what we've done. Look what we've done. Look what we've built. Look what we've accumulated. Look what we've done. Look what we've done. Rejoicing in the works of their hands. Now, the Jews were rejoicing in the fact of the circumcision, and you recall David's word concerning Goliath as he appeared there and Goliath coming out. David rebuked his own brethren in the camp and he says, you let that uncircumcised Philistine come out here and jeer and taunt you. Why don't somebody take care of him? And they were afraid to, and he said, well, I'll do it. I'll do it. But that doesn't count anymore. That doesn't count anymore. You were Gentiles. You were Gentiles. Now you're Christians. Now you're Christians. Paul comes on a little later and says, we were Jews. We were Jews. And our boast was in observance of the rite of the covenant circumcision. But now our boast is in Christ. And so we're coming to this sublime truth. It's neither Jew nor Gentile. It's neither circumcision nor not circumcision. It's not the observance of the law or the non-observance of the law. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they were Gentiles. And here's the mighty power and the grace of God. Out of the heart of paganism, with the unmentionable, almost inconceivable degeneracy attached to their worship, coming out of that, here comes one out of Jewry, having observed the laws and the rites. Here he comes with a regard for the law and a disregard for the Gentile, which is a mutual feeling. But here they come, Jew and Gentile, made one in the Lord Jesus Christ through faith in him. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby they have come into that body. Now the question arises, how does this pagan Gentile, and how does this legalistic Jew, how do they become one? They become one through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that now, we've got three groups of people in the world today, and these are the three groups that are recognized by God. We've got the Jew, who is a literal descendant of Jacob, who has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the Gentile, who is not a descendant of Jacob and has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we've got the Christian, who maybe was a Jew or maybe was a Gentile, but now, having been created in Christ Jesus and become a new creation or a new creature in him, is a different person entirely. Now, when the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom, these Christians are going to be with the Lord in the new Jerusalem. The Jews are going to occupy the land from the Nile River to the Euphrates River, and then the Gentile nations will occupy the rest of the earth. Not only during the millennium, but throughout eternity, that division is going to exist. These Jews will be saved, and those Gentiles will be saved, but they're a different group entirely to those who are in Christ. The highest calling that can come to a human being from heaven above and on the earth below is to be a member of the body of Christ. Far higher than being a Jew, far higher than being a Gentile. It's the highest calling that can come to one. Therefore, give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the Church of God. Now, next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to take up 7 or 8 specific differences between the Jews and the Gentiles. And then we'll see how God has broken down that middle wall of partition which separated the Jews from the Gentiles. May thy blessing rest and abide, Lord, upon the ministry of thy word this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.